the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and Chris Prytower.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to another edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm Chris Prytower. We're going to continue with our discussion on taxes today, since it's one of everyone's favorite times of the year, just like the holidays. Instead of spending time with friends and family, you get to spend time with your tax accountant. And if you're lucky, maybe a lawyer or an investment advisor. You know, Jim, even saying that, it just brings butterflies of joy to my stomach. But no, on a serious note, many of you are just finding out how much your taxes went up or went down, depending on your income or maybe where you live, maybe your sources of income and deductions. There are a number of programs out there where you can plug in your income and your deductions, and it'll show you just how much you benefited or lost ground under this sweeping tax law change that we've been talking a bit about. And so what we're going to do today on this show, we're going to look at different tax scenarios for different income brackets and show you how this new law impacts various individuals. And what you're going to come away with is how disadvantageous it is to those of you that have high incomes and happen to live in high tax states, but also how favorable it is to those of you who are either retired or close to retirement. And we're also going to have some recommendations to help those of you that are considering retiring soon.
Yeah, the first thing I want to mention, and this is something that we've seen probably, Chris, over, I would say, probably the last couple of decades, and that is how tax laws are being written to benefit, let's say, certain groups over the other groups. At one time, when they lowered taxes, they applied across all income brackets. That is no longer the case, as we've seen with, let's say, the Bush tax cuts early on in the last decade, and currently the Trump tax cuts. In the case of the Trump tax cuts, 75% of the benefits went to corporations. So if you were, let's say, Warren Buffett, Jeff Bezos, or Bill Gates, and your corporate tax rate got cut from 35% to 21%, man, you made out like a bandit. I mean, and we saw that last year reflected in many of the corporate earnings reports. I mean, if you lower your tax rate from 35 to 21, you're going to report higher earnings. But the majority of the Trump tax benefit went to corporations because U.S. corporate tax rates were the highest in the world. In fact, the average tax rate around the world is about 22%. We were at 35. And so a lot of corporations, you heard, were leaving their profits overseas. So the idea was to put us on par with the rest of the world so corporations would bring those profits home. And so that was one of the reasons for the benefit. But we are seeing that when tax laws are passed, what you see will happen more often. They'll benefit certain groups or others, and they will harm certain other groups. Now, one of the biggest lies you see in the media is that the rich don't pay their fair share, and in fact, they actually pay the bulk of the nation's income taxes. This was an issue that Moody's raised last year in their report on state solvency. And what Moody's wanted to do is they wanted to take a look at states, because in the last recession, a lot of states got themselves in financial trouble. They laid off over 600,000 employees. And what they found out is states that have a very high progressive income tax rate, very much like New York and California and New Jersey, they become too dependent on large taxpayers. They're basing a lot of their revenues on, let's say, high taxes on Larry, lots of bucks. So what happens to, let's say, somebody that's making a lot of money during, let's say, an economic downturn? Wealthy individuals, well, they make less money. There's not as many stock options. There's not capital gains. And what happens, as Moody found out, is revenues fall off a cliff. The other issue is, like in the case of California and New York, wealthy people are leaving the state in droves to escape the high taxes and the high cost of living. In that Wall Street Journal article you've probably heard so much about in the news lately, California has lost 1.25 million taxpayers since 2006. And more recently, the New York Governor Cuomo was complaining his own state fell short by several billion dollars in tax collections as a result of taxpayers leaving the state. A clue and a recommendation to Cuomo: lower your taxes. But they just lost, for example, Amazon is relocating. They were going to relocate their headquarters to New York. That would have brought in about nine and a half times, I think Cuomo said, the actual tax incentives they were given Amazon, but they lost out. And so You know, we've seen it over and over. Why is Florida? Why is Nevada? Why is Texas? Why is Arizona? Why are these states experiencing the highest growth in population? They're doing it for a couple reasons: weather, taxes, and a cheaper cost of living.
Well, let's go ahead and dive into the new tax bill, Jim, and let's go ahead and see how it plays out for individuals within those details.
Now, what I did is the Wall Street Journal came out with a program where you could actually, it had all 50 states, so you could actually plug in your number if you subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. I highly recommend that you look up their tax calculation for 2019. And what it'll do is it'll take, you just plug in your numbers, your income, you know, the number of kids you have, dependents, mortgage deductions, all the things that you have, and it'll actually compute what your tax savings are for 2018 versus the old tax law. So in this case, I used my own state of California, but it applies equally no matter which state you live in. I took six scenarios, from middle-class income to the Larry Lotsabuck cases, a retired couple or retired single. In just about every single case, taxes went down, especially for a retired couple or, let's say, a retired single individual.
Now, did the results surprise you?
Yeah, they did. One that really struck me is if you're making $1 million and you live in a high tax state like our own state of California, you did save some money. Now, according to the IRS stats, only about 5% of taxpayers will actually see their taxes go up. And a lot of them, believe it or not, are going to be single individuals, as you'll see as we go over some of these tax scenarios. And that is mainly that for high income earners that live in high tax states where you get a lot of tax deductions, and if you're single, you're going to hit those high tax brackets, because if you take a look at the way the tax brackets work, you have a 10 and a 12%. Then after 12%, the tax rates jump by 10 percentage points from 12 to 22, shortly to 24. And then after a 24% bracket, you have a big jump from 24 to 32. So there are a lot of ways that individuals can jump into higher brackets very quickly.
Well, let's go ahead and dig into the nitty-gritty within these scenarios, just so we can find out how this impacts our listeners.
Well, what I wanted to do is I started out with $100,000 of income, and I took five levels of income ranging from $100,000 all the way up to $1 million. Now, I also looked at two levels of income for single individuals and also for retired seniors. In all cases, taxes actually were reduced. But the caveat is that when this tax bill sunsets in 2026, your 2027 taxes, in all cases, you're going to see your taxes go up. Not by much, depending on your income, but they're going to go up. So let's take a look at some of these scenarios. Now, the first case I used is a married couple. They have two kids. I wanted to take somebody, you know, in California here, $100,000 for a husband and wife working is lower middle class, believe it or not. So $100,000 of income, state taxes of $6,000, $8,000 in property taxes, and about $15,000 in mortgage interest. In the first case I used, a married couple, the result was that the income taxes fell by $590, not by much, and they'll go up by $65 in 2027. Now, fast forward to the same scenario, but this time a single parent. Now, in this case, under this bracket, the case of a single parent, the tax savings were $1,105 versus the $590 for a married couple. And also in 2027, taxes would go up by $140. Now, I bumped it up to $250,000 because here in California, you know, folks, if you live in the Midwest, if you live in Nebraska, Iowa, or someplace that, or like in the South, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana, that sounds like a lot of income. In California, $250,000 barely gets you into a halfway decent home. So I took $250,000 of income, same scenario, two kids, $250,000 of income. Obviously, higher state taxes were $21,000 and property taxes were $20,000. That's roughly about a 2% property tax rate on a $1 million home, which $1 million home here is nothing. And then about $25,000 of mortgage interest. Now, in this scenario, the tax savings were $3,865, and they will go up by almost $700 in 2027. So, folks, as long as this tax bill is in place, enjoy these benefits. they're going to gradually decrease year by year, because one of the things that they did is they put in a new way of calculating the indexing of tax brackets at a lower rate. So eventually inflation is going to catch up, and you're going to get, you know, as you get those cost of living increases, you're going to find yourself that you're going to have less and less tax benefits. And then a lot of these go away in 2027. And by the way, we're going to talk about this with the tax attorney, Chris Hennessy, on tomorrow's program. But if you look at this scenario, same scenario, $250,000, but this time you're a single parent, the tax savings are only $1,350, and your taxes will go up by almost $500 in 2027.
Well, Jim, as we go into detail on the new tax bill, one of the questions I have, why isn't the tax saving as great for single individuals as income rises?
One of the reasons, Chris, is if you're a single individual, you run into those higher tax brackets at a much lower level of income. For example, if you are, let's say, making under $39,000, you're in a 12% bracket. But as soon as you make $39,475, you jump into the 22% bracket. At $84,000, you're in the 24% bracket. And at $160,000, you jump into the 32%. Now, contrast that to a married couple. They don't reach the 22% tax bracket until you reach $78,950. And then the 24% bracket is on $168,000, but you don't reach the 32% bracket until your income exceeds $321,000. So that's why, as you'll see as we go through a couple more of these cases, the tax savings aren't as great for single individuals the more income you make.
So based on that, Jim, one tax planning strategy that our listeners might want to incorporate based on what you're saying is to get married.
Yes. Yeah, I guess if you have Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, that, you know, clearly under this tax bill, that would be a good strategy. So we're going to start a dating service as part of our tax planning service, just to let our listeners know. So, yeah, but you're absolutely right. But once again, I just told you those brackets. There's a big, big jump for married couples to get into those higher tax brackets, where it's less of a jump for a single individual. But anyway, let's go on and move on to a couple other cases. I want to get to the larger cases. And once again, this is going to illustrate how little the tax savings are for single individuals the more income you make. Let's move on to two more. I took $500,000 of income, and then we took $1 million. Now, at $500,000 of income as a married couple, your tax savings are $12,665. And if you are single, they're $8,500. $100 making the same income. So you can see, once again, that idea, Chris, this really is a good tax planning move. Get married, because it brings down your income brackets down. So, we need to put that down on the list of lowering taxes. Get married. But the next category is $1 million of income. Now, in the case of Larry Lots of Bucks, their taxes on $1 million of income would be, their tax savings would be $13,935. And remember, I'm reporting this in the state of California. Now, for Mega Bucks, a single parent, her taxes would actually, listen to this, if you are single and you are making $1 million living in California, my advice, get a wife. Because if you're making $1 million, your taxes go up by $28,815. And you're part of the group that the IRS talks about. 5% of the nation's population will actually see their taxes go up. So imagine that. 13,000. Let me calculate. You know, Chris, I'm going to calculate this. Let's put it this way. If you are making $1 million, you're listening to this program. If you are married, you save $13,935. If you are single, you pay $28,815 more. That is a delta change of $43,000. What do you think? Is that a big enough incentive to get married, Chris?
It is. And in fact, I'm thinking what we should start doing is issuing marriage certificates to our listeners, just to make, they can submit that with their tax documents to their accountant.
I forgot to mention that Chris is a justice of the peace. So one of the services we provide here.
Well, and Jim, as we talk about how this affects single folk, what about seniors?
You know, here's the good news. If you are a senior and are retired, you really benefit from this tax bill. And I'm just going to list a boatload of benefits here. Let's just take straight income, whether it's taxable portion of your Social Security, distributions from an IRA, or let's say interest income from a CD at the bank. Now, as a single, you can earn up to $21,699 and pay zero income taxes. Now, if you're married, that figure goes up to $43,000, let's round it off, $43,400. Now, if single, the next $29,775 is taxed at only 15%. And if you're married, anything over $43,400, the next $60,550 is taxed at 15%. So let me put this in another way. If you are single and you make $51,475, your tax bill is only $5,921. And if you're married, you can make up to almost $103,000. It's actually $102,950, and your tax bill is only $9,082. One more reason to get married, folks. I mean, there's the numbers right there. In both cases, you're paying roughly about 10% of your income in federal taxes. And even better, if you live in a tax-free state like Florida, Texas, and Nevada, which are the three most popular states that are getting an influx of, let's say, individuals that are retiring or moving from other states, your tax bill, your federal tax bill, is the only tax bill you're going to have. So think of the money that you're going to save. Now, it gets even better if you replace your income with dividends instead of Social Security and interest. For example, let's say you have a dividend portfolio or you have a Roth portfolio and you postpone receiving your Social Security to age 70, as we're doing with a lot of the cases that we're working on. Well, number one, by postponing Social Security, it's going to grow by 32%. So that's a bigger check to you and it's a bigger check to your surviving spouse. In this case, if your income is strictly dividend income from stocks, the picture really starts to get much better. So let me put this in perspective. If you are single, you can make up to $51,375 in dividends and be in a zero tax bracket. If your income is from dividends, you can earn an additional, check this out, $395,175 on top of the $51,000, and that will keep you in a 15% tax bracket. One of our largest, wealthiest clients basically has the majority of his portfolio in blue chip dividend stocks for this very reason. He's getting a better return from his dividend paying stocks than we can get in muni bonds. Now, if you're married above the figure that I told you about, you can make an additional $410,100 in dividends and only pay 15%. So, Chris, here's the thing. What you want to do if you're retired, you want to make sure you stay in the 10%, 12%, and 15% tax bracket. That way, 80 to 90% of the income you're going to keep for yourself instead of paying out in taxes, and especially if you move to a tax-free state.
Well, it seems like overall, everyone saved in taxes under the new tax bill, unless you were single and making big bucks over $500,000 a year. Now, if you're a senior, you really can put yourself into a favorable tax position just by changing your address and rearranging your income. But what are the most important moves that seniors can make, Jim, if they're retired now in the early years of retirement and are nearing retirement, as really so many baby boomers are now doing?
You know, the first move I would recommend, if you live in a high tax state, let's say you live on the East Coast, you live in New York, Connecticut, New Jersey. If you're on the West Coast, you live in California or Midwest, you're in Illinois, is get the heck out of there. I mean, you can move to a tax-free state. You get rid of your state taxes, and the states that are tax-free generally have a lower cost of living. So you sell the high-priced home, and you move to a low-tax, no-tax, low-tax state. You just reduced two out of your three biggest expenses in retirement. Your three biggest expenses are going to be housing, it's going to be taxes, and it's going to be medical. So by moving to a no-tax state, you just got rid of state taxes. That's a big savings. And you're probably going to buy a house that is so much cheaper. I just had a client that sold their house here, and the plan was they want to move to Arizona. There's a retirement community called Sun City, and they have friends that live there. And, Chris, they're going to get a paid-for home, a really nice, about 2,300, 2,200 square foot home for about $250,000. I mean, you can't buy anything like that here in California. And so not only are they going to pay cash for the house, but they're going to have a lot of money left over. And the tax rates there, that they're going to go from a little over, they're going to go from a 9.3% tax rate, and they're going to go to roughly a 2.5% tax rate in Arizona. And then also Sun City has a special income tax or a property tax rate because they don't have to pay for schools. So their property taxes are going to drop considerably from close to 2% here to under 0.5% there. So a big, big savings, two out of your biggest expenses in retirement.
Well, that's an important strategy, you know, changing your zip code to really save a lot of money. But outside of moving, Jim, what can folks do? What are some other strategies that a retiree can make to lower their taxes?
You know, the next effective move you can make is convert part or all of your IRA into a Roth IRA. So the income you're going to receive from your Roth is tax-free. And unlike a regular IRA where you have to take required mandatory distributions at age 70 and a half, and by the way, those distributions go up each year, this is one that catches a lot of retirees and puts them into a permanent higher tax bracket. So it's important because you really want to avoid the big jump in tax rates from 12% to 22% and 24%, which many of you are going to face once you start taking those mandatory distributions. And also, once you reach $40,000 and $80,000, if you're single and married, you know, those are the figures that you can have basically your dividends are tax free. Now, there's another big jump in tax brackets when your income exceeds $160,000 if you're single and $321,000 if you're married. Now, the best way to keep your tax bracket low is by tax free income. Either there's three ways you can get it: tax free bonds, a tax free Roth IRA, or dividends up to the $40,000 and $80,000 limit.
So what I'm taking away from today's show is that the new tax law did save taxes for most individuals, except high-earning single individuals. And the other thing that strikes me about this tax law is that one of the best moves anyone retiring can make is to move to a tax-free state where there are no state income taxes and where the cost of living is much lower. Those are two big expenses that really can make a significant reduction and enhance one's retirement. The other aspect, though, is using dividends. And we talked about this last week. Also, Roth IRAs and tax-free bonds to get tax-free income. You know, I'm really amazed, though, that more retirees aren't doing this. And Jim, do you have a theory on why that might be?
You know, I think, Chris, in most cases, it's because they don't have a retirement plan. I mean, when it comes to dividends, many retirees have mutual funds or ETFs where the dividend income isn't always assured and is less predictable, especially during an economic downturn or bear market. Many people mistakenly believe that when the stock market goes down, their income from stocks goes down, which is not true, especially if you own blue chip dividend achieving stocks that have been around 40, 50 years, strong balance sheet, you know, the kind of stocks you see in the Dow Jones Industrials that increase their dividends. And so when you're in a mutual fund, those dividends aren't predictable and guaranteed. They can go down in a downturn. Or versus, let's say I own an individual stock that has a history of paying out dividends and raising them, that's more assured. But a lot of people misconstrue that stock prices falling also means less income.
Well, let's go ahead and sum up today's show. I have just a few points here that I think are going to encapsulate what we've discussed. The first is that most individuals will see a tax decrease this year. That's good news. Number two, it's possible to pay nothing, zero or low tax rates of 12 to 15%. Number three, you should be using dividends to lower your taxable income. Oh, and I forgot, if you're single, get married. Now, weeks ahead, we're going to do more topics to help you lower your taxes, especially with Roth IRAs. So, Jim, if potential retirees or retired individuals would like to talk to your team of advisors on lowering their taxes, how can they do so?
They can call us at 888-486-4444. 888-486-3939. That's 888-486-3939. And I want to point out, tune in to tomorrow's show where we're going to have a tax attorney, Chris Hennessy, will join us on the show as we talk about some of the implications of this tax bill going forward and some of the moves that we've discussed here, but probably in a little bit more detail. That's coming up tomorrow on the program. In the meantime, on behalf of Chris Prytower and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, well, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.